This is the Health City Podcast. Healthcare insights from healthcare leaders with Matt Morton.
Hi, everybody. This is Matt Morton. Welcome to the Health City Podcast, where I talk with top healthcare leaders to uncover their rise to the highest levels of the industry and the most valuable insights they learned along the way. Today's guest is co-founder and co-CEO of Access Physical Therapy, Steve Albanese. After 4 years as a staff physical therapist, Steve made the leap to co-found Access with his brother, Chris. Today, Access has around 50 locations across New York, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina. In our conversation, Steve and I talk about how he and his brother made the leap to start the company, what values drove the practice forward, and his biggest insights for anyone rising the ranks in the healthcare field. Welcome, Steve Albanese. Steve, thanks so much for coming on the Health City Podcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Excited to run through your background. I've known about you guys for a long time now. You know, really excited to nail down exactly what you guys did and your story and how you made Access what it is today. So first, let's go back to the beginning. How did you get into the healthcare industry and why did you decide to become a physical therapist?
Definitely. So first, going way back, my parents are teachers. My father's a science teacher. And I think from there, just had a love of science, love playing sports, and also as a family, just helping others. And so kind of putting those together, kind of set that foundation. And then my brother, Chris, current partner, he's a year and a half older. So he was at Springfield College already in the PT program. So I got a sense for what PT is. And then, so I volunteered with the local hospital in the physical therapy department, really had a love and a passion for it. And so applied and went to Quinnipiac, which eventually where I met my now spouse, Shannon. Chris met his now wife, Janet, at Springfield College, and that's kind of how it all started.
That's amazing. So you graduate PT school. Did you work in a private practice right when you graduated?
So coming right out, I worked at a hospital-based facility, okay. And I was there for about a year, and it was good. You know, I enjoyed it. There was a good mix of patients that we saw. And then from there, went to another practice setting, which, again, as a young therapist, I was the lead therapist. So it was, again, great experience, great patients, great camaraderie. But at that time, so Chris and I were coming together and we always knew we wanted to do something a little bit different and together. And so, you know, there's almost like having a child, there's no perfect time to go into business. And so my wife and I had recently, she was pregnant. We had just bought a house. Wasn't the best time to actually have no income and start something new. But we just had such a passion for what we did, and not that it was bad where we were, but we just knew we could do it a little bit better. We knew we could provide, we wanted to provide a little bit better patient experience, better outcomes, and create something special for our team members.
So how many years was that when you were in private practice before you guys opened up your own practice?
So it was about 4 years for myself.
Wow. And just like you said, there's no perfect time to have a child or go into business. You were doing all that at once, that's pretty crazy. And that's scary. I'm sure that was quite a leap to do that.
You know, it was. And, you know, thinking back to, you know, were we entrepreneurs all along? And I don't know. But, you know, looking back, you know, Chris and I, we were both in Scouts. We were both Eagle Scouts. And so, you know, some of the things in there, like we would sell items that were in Boys Life magazine and, you know, go door to door, swim instructors, you know, for local kids in town. And so like little things that, you know, we always wanted to, I guess, have that entrepreneurial itch. But first and foremost, it was that love and that passion for helping people, you know? And so once we saw that there were opportunities to actually do that better and private practice was an option, you know, that's where it was really a no-brainer to go into business.
Yeah, and I think that's where the businesses that really take off always start, right? They have to have the right mission. So when you're doing it for that right mission, you know that you can do better by the patient, and that's the foundation for the company. Ultimately, that's going to take that company to the next level. So what was the process when you guys were evaluating opening your own clinic in terms of looking at for a location? You know, what were you looking for in that? And what was it like before you were about to launch?
Yeah, so one, it was a lot of long conversations with our spouses to make sure they were good with it. And so they kept their jobs at the local hospital while Chris and I were doing this with tremendous support from them. You know, but it was nothing crazy or scientific. I wish it probably was more a little bit involved or in depth. But we picked a town between the two towns that we were in, and it seemed like there was a need for it. You know, there was a nice small. It was 1,733 square feet, you know, commercial space. And we were like, this could be perfect. You know, we both had some relationships, you know, some patients that were in the market in the area. And so, you know, from there, again, I wish it was a little more scientific, but it was seemed like a good opportunity. But more so, it was just that passion. Like, we just wanted to, we couldn't wait to do it. And we just couldn't wait to turn on the lights, you know, open the door and just have something that we were in control of, how the patients received care, the relationship we had with the referral sources, how we could be involved in the community. And it was that passion for how we can make things a little bit better, you know, which really superseded everything.
That's great. And that really feeds into my next question, because what I want to go into is, what was the original goal when you guys opened up Access? Did you guys say, you know, we're going to open up this clinic, we're going to expand to 40-something locations and be a big force in the PT industry? Or was it more of just what you said in terms of, we want to do right by the patient and see where it takes us from there?
You know, it really started with the patient, you know, with the patient and with us being in control of what is that experience like, and also to really put our team members, our therapists, our customer service specialists in the position that they can do their job the best. And so to create that environment that would be most successful for them. And so, you know, if we had to put a number to it, maybe it was about 3 to 5 sites, you know, that we would have, which create a nice, you know, nice couple locations, have a good team and provide a great service. But there was really no concrete business plan regarding that scope.
So how long did it take, and at what point did you guys say, you know, we're at a point where we want to open up the second location now, we think it's time to grow, and you started getting expansion?
So it was probably about halfway into the first year. We were getting really busy. We had patients coming from about 30 miles away in this town across the county. And from there, they kept asking us, can you open up here? Can you open up down here? And so, you know, again, it wasn't, there was no plan, no timeline. And so we took a drive down there. There was actually a beautiful senior living center. And so the patient's mother actually lived there. So we looked in there. We talked to the owner, and he's like, I have this space if you want, and you can rent it, provide service to our residents. And so we did that for about a year or so. And it was great. It grew really quickly, provided great care to the residents. But then we wanted to see patients. Patients wanted to see us from the community. And so it wasn't going to work for long term. So we looked down the road, built out a new site, and then that became our second site, which we opened about a little less than 2 years after the first one.
So that's amazing. 6 months was your ramp to getting really busy at that first clinic.
Yeah. No, it was, you know, ever since the beginning, it was all about being really meticulous around every interaction our patients have with us, whether it's the first phone call, the first time that we saw them pre-COVID, that nice warm handshake, you know, the good eye contact, and making sure that they truly felt cared for, listened to. And so we grew on word of mouth, you know, that was everything. And so patients telling their friends, their family, their physicians that they were happy with the care. And so that was really the genesis for the growth.
It's amazing. And word of mouth really is the best way that you could possibly grow, because it means you're doing something right. You know, so the fact that you guys were putting all of that effort into the patient experience, because, you know, obviously patient experience starts from the second they walk in the door, they talk to the front desk, they see you and speak to you, to the care, to the outcomes, everything has to go completely hand in hand. So you guys are providing all that in a fantastic manner, and patients are appreciating it. And they're the ones who are actually making your business grow, because you're doing things the right way. So in essence, your goal and your mission that you guys founded Access on, you know, you executed on it right away and it paid off.
For sure. It was great. It was a lot of long hours. You know, we got there probably 6:30 in the morning, left at 8:30 at night there on Saturdays, but it was, you know, it was something, again, it was that passion for why we do what we do. And it was the, you know, seeing Mrs. Smith being able to carry her grandchild, or, you know, dance at her daughter's wedding. And it was just, it's why we're in healthcare, you know, all of us. It's providing that great patient care and seeing the outcomes that we deliver in such a thoughtful, caring manner. And so it was easy to do it.
So as you start growing, you open your second location, you know, from there, fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, et cetera, you keep going. What were you looking for when you were building your team? What were you looking for in the people that you wanted to bring on to Access?
So going back one moment, so that when we opened our second site, our first therapist actually, he pulled us in the room. He's like, you know, guys, I got to let you know that I got to go. You know, I'm moving to North Carolina. And so we were like, you know, that put a little monkey wrench in our plan. He was going to be director. We'd go to the new site. And so from there, he moved to North Carolina. He wasn't happy with the team he was working with. And he said, you know, why don't you guys open up down here and I'll work for you. And so we thought about it. You know, we have two locations in New York. Why are we going to go, you know, why are we going to North Carolina? But we ended up partnering with him down there. And so from there, but it made us think about who do we want on our team? What's the right kind of person, especially if they're going to be further away from us, not in our same site? The team that we bring on is even more important. And so the right people. And so from there, it's really about, are they in line with our values? Are they nice people? Like, do they smile? Are they happy? You know, to deliver that nice customer service, if they're waiting for an interview and people walk by them, they don't smile at them. You know, we don't want them to smile just at the interview, but smile all the time. You know, be welcome, be inviting, be a continuous learner. You know, because our field is constantly changing. Healthcare is changing dramatically. We've got to keep learning, you know, as we go. Being empathetic is huge. It's so important in all relationships. So it's really those core values. We can teach someone how to be a good therapist, how to, you know, do good phone skills or, you know, the admin work. But it's what's deep down inside, you know, it's really probably not changeable. And so those are things that we really look for.
Yeah, you touched on a lot there. I mean, growth mindset, obviously incredibly important, which you spoke about in terms of
for sure.
Want to be able to learn and move forward. And then the emotional intelligence point as well, in that, you know, they have to be acting the right way to the patients and understand that patients are just people and they got to communicate with them that way with empathy. Yep. So that the patient can feel that and they understand what they're going through. And that's going to make the patient want to interact with that person, come back, send their family there. And that's what ultimately helps you guys grow, which you did in the first place. So I want to go back to what you said about North Carolina. Yeah. Was North Carolina your third location?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Why that doesn't seem reasonable.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, once we opened up down there, that was really kind of a turning point for us as a company. And so, you know, we had the sites in New York, which we could easily drive to and kind of see how's it going. Once we opened in North Carolina, we did it because it was the right person we partnered with. You know, other than that, it wouldn't make sense. And it probably didn't make sense even back then. But it was the right person, right values. And so from there, but we said, all right, we really need to make sure he has the right tools to effectively manage, you know, work with his team, understand how the practice is doing. So it made us really invest in our back office systems, processes. Why were we doing well? Like, what were we doing? Let's actually write it down and write the process down and make sure that we understood what we were doing so that we could then replicate it and teach, you know, so that he can then grow that practice there. And so it was a great turning point for us as a company that once we understood what North Carolina was like, you know, we were thinking, again, this is not from any business school thinking, but what's it like in other states? So we actually opened up in New Jersey, in Illinois, in Kentucky. And it was through relationships, through people said, hey, you got to meet so-and-so. And we're like, hey, you want to start a practice together? And so again, not smart by any means. But we learned a ton. We learned about credentialing and insurance and, you know, different environments and what's successful in this market or this market and why is it successful? So that was like our little mini MBA, you know, that comes with no initials. And, but it was great. And so for us, you know, that was the initial, let's just try stuff, you know, throw it up against the wall. And since then, probably the last 10 years, we've been much more strategic and refined in what we do. But I think those opportunities really help us to learn as individuals, as team members, you know, more importantly, as an organization.
That's so amazing. The more you think about it, I mean, location number three, you go states away. And like you said, it has to be the biggest learning experience you guys could have had as a company, because at that point, you're so young in the growth of the company, and to have an office that far away, that immediately teaches you, you know, you have to have that right person there. And if you do have that right person and you invest in the infrastructure and give them the tools that they need to grow, you know, with that mindset, they're going to foster that and they're going to grow with the company. It's incredible to hear. So as you're growing even further, opening more locations, what are some of the big milestones that you can remember hitting?
So probably the different states were definitely milestones. Another one was in 2015. So we were asked to manage the rehab of a local health system. And so their inpatient, outpatient, and skilled nursing sites. And so from there, around 2015, a lot was happening with value-based payments, with orthopedic bundles, ACOs were becoming more prevalent. And from there, for me, it was so interesting to see how can we interject the right therapy at the right time for the right patient to really make an impact. And so at the time, it was the triple aim, now the quadruple aim. And I think that was definitely a milestone to help us get out of our private practice head and look at the greater picture of now how do therapists actually impact the greater healthcare system. And so we saw firsthand, especially around orthopedic bundles, where we would see the patient before surgery, our team would see them on the inpatient side, and then see them right after surgery, the same team, almost like having the therapist walk the patient through the continuum of care. And so from there, it just, the physicians were really happy with that, with the process. Patients loved it. They felt part of the team. It helped to improve the quality outcomes and also decrease the overall cost of care for those episodes. So that was great. More so like an eye-opening milestone for us as a company. We've had more experiences with value-based payment and as that progressed. And so that was definitely a turning point for us, which has been really interesting, especially the way things are going now. We've got to provide value and we've got to show that value, and it's the right thing to do. And so, and I think therapists, especially around musculoskeletal conditions, movement disorder conditions, provide significant value. So we need to make sure that we have a seat at the table for those diagnoses.
Could not agree more. Those are great points. And current standing today, I mean, throughout this process, you hit those milestones, you continue to grow. Where are you guys at currently? How many locations across how many states?
So we have about 50 locations across 4 states. So we've narrowed down our scope quite a bit statewide, which just makes sense. And so, you know, for us, the scale allows us to be more impactful. It's better for our team. It provides more comprehensive care for our patients. There's more specialists throughout our company that anytime any therapist can say, hey, Lisa, I got a question on this patient, you know, and she's the certified specialist in that area. And so it really helps our patients to have better care, better outcomes, more opportunities for growth for our team members as well as the company grows. And honestly, we could be a better partner to the healthcare system, whether it's payers, employers, health systems alike.
Definitely. So I'm going to move into the next section here. I want to go into, you know, the fact that you're the leader of a pretty large company at this point and successful entrepreneur. And I want to get some characteristics that you think are extremely important for somebody to be successful, to grow and lead a company.
So, you know, it kind of goes back to probably our upbringing, but just being empathetic, you know, it's, and like you said, as far as having emotional intelligence, you know, I think, you know, we read the book a while back. I think it was Daniel Goldman on emotional intelligence. And it was just, it's so important. There are many smart people, but a lot of times if you don't relate to the person you're trying to communicate with, it kind of falls on deaf ears. And so whether it's a therapist communicating to a patient, like you've got to make sure you connect with that patient. You could be the smartest therapist, but if you don't have that connection, they're not going to have good outcomes most likely. And so whether it's therapist to patient, you know, or, you know, the us to our team, I think being empathetic, having good emotional intelligence is critical. Being humble is so important. It's something we look for with all of our team members. Again, there's no place for arrogance or otherwise. Nobody needs to see that, you know, especially our patients, you know, our team members. And I think just having that servant mentality, being a continuous learner, there's so many things that we don't know. And so the more we can just continuously learn, like a continuous process improvement, I think is so important with whatever we do. So, you know, I think probably the tie together is that growth mindset, you know, empathetic and having a growth mindset, I think are so important and probably so understated, maybe more previously, but critical.
I absolutely love all three of those that you said. You know, you got to be empathetic and have that emotional intelligence, which is so vital for any career. And I think that's one thing that I've been touching on so much as these conversations is that, you know, if you can't have that emotional intelligence to be able to communicate with others effectively and understand the way that they're thinking and how what you're saying impacts them, you're not really going to get far in conversations and it's not going to be effective. You know, and aside from that, you touched on the ego as well and being humble and, you know, being able to check the ego is so incredibly important, because if you can do that and understand everything that you don't know, like you said, because you know, none of us, regardless of where we are, know as much as we think typically. So if you
if
you can understand that and really check the ego and just open yourself up to learning, I mean, the opportunities are completely limitless. And then growth mindset, of course, I mean, one of the single most important things for success in any field and in any position you're in is just the willingness to grow and understand that you have a say in the outcomes and situations. You know, it's about your mindset and what you're going to put into it.
It's so true. And touching on ego, you know, especially with, so working with my brother, my wife, and my sister-in-law, you know, we all kind of have strong opinions at times on certain things and amongst our other team members as well. And I think it's Ryan Holiday, maybe, with ego is the enemy. And, you know, it's so important to kind of check that and make sure that, you know, why am I saying this? Why am I being so strong in this opinion? Because you don't have to know everything. And that's why you have team members, because they're really smart and they know a lot of stuff, and make sure that you capture why you have them on your team and why you ask them for advice. And so we don't have to know everything. We shouldn't know everything. And to, you know, check your ego is so important.
Completely agree with that. I mean, yeah, why bring somebody onto your team if you're not going to value their opinion? And I didn't even think about that. The fact that, yes, you started this business just between family, which can be tough at times. And I'm sure you guys had to work on that, like you said, and really understand, you know, that you got to check the ego and value each other's opinion and how each other work in order to make sure that goes forward successfully and smoothly.
We have to do it, and we continue to work on it. And, you know, it's so important. I mean, we're so blessed, you know, to be able to do this together, all four of us being physical therapists. And again, now we have such an amazing team around us. But yeah, it was interesting, you know. In the beginning, especially, it was very much a family business. You know, my youngest daughter kind of grew up in the office, you know, in her little bouncy chair, and, you know, patients, I think, wanted to see her more than they wanted to come see me for therapy. You know, but that it's, you know, I think we started off with that family atmosphere and continue with it. But yeah, it's, you know, communication, probably adding to that list, being a good communicator, which involves active listening, especially, you know, is so important. It's something that, you know, I think all of us have to, you know, always make sure that are we communicating the best we can? And, you know, is my message being received how I want it to be, you know, which often is something I need to work on.
Definitely. So you've had a nice build process. I mean, 1 to 50 locations, you know, are there one or two key things, key insights that you learned along the way that you think would benefit somebody who's either early in their career or looking to make the entrepreneurial leap?
Yeah. So first I would say there's a ton of luck involved, at least in my process, in our process. You know, we've been really lucky to just, whether it's connections we've made, people we've met, opportunities that came across our table, you know, we've been very lucky in that. In the profession that we chose, we've been very lucky, you know, to be able to do what we do. I was very lucky that Shannon said yes 18 years ago, my wife, and that we, you know, have this solid relationship. But besides that, you know, I think, like, I love it's Simon Sinek's, like, the golden circle. And so he's, why do we do what we do? And so anyone starting out, like, what's the why? Like, what's the why? What's the purpose? And then you get to the how, and then the what afterwards. And the what's the easy part. The what, in our case, it's rehab services, physical therapy. How is access unique? Like, what's our competitive advantage? But it's that why that we need to make sure we really have, because there are tough days. Like, there are days that are long, hard. It doesn't go well. You know, like, why am I doing this? I had a steady job. You know, why did I choose this path? And so if you have that why, it's going to get you through those days for sure. And so that's probably the biggest thing. You know, second is, you know, really, what do we have control over and what do we don't have control over? And so Shen and I have two daughters. And so whether it's with sports or academics, I think it's similar with life or business, that, you know, there are two quotes that we often reference. So one is, hard choices equals easy life. And so make the hard choices, you have an easier life. Make the easy choices today, it's going to suck down the road. It's going to be hard. And so, and that can relate to anything. And the second is, the game is won when no one's watching. And I think that is, it's so critical, whether it's your job, sports, you know, whatever it might be. And so put in the time, put in the effort. It's not when you're in front of the patient, but it's those hours before that you worked on your craft, your skills, whatever it might be, that put the time in. You know, it's so important because once you're on game time, once you're on the field, you open your business, it's won or lost already. You know, so put that time in before.
I love how you mentioned that start with why, because that's a great one. And that's, you know, yeah, so valuable if you have that mindset and you can understand that. And if you know that, it's going to drive you through, like you said, the tough times as well. And I know you mentioned luck, right? You said a lot of luck is involved, but I love when I hear that, because I know you know this as well. In order to get lucky, you have to put yourself in a position to get lucky. You know, so you have obviously made that leap and you've taken and made the hard decisions. You know, you put yourself in a position where maybe you weren't going to get lucky, but you also put yourself a lot closer than some other people who didn't make that jump and take those risks would have.
And that's where it's so true. And I have a love-hate relationship with that quote, "The game is won when no one's watching," because it, whenever I don't want to work that extra little bit or do what I know I need to do, like I say that to myself, or I have it on my board and I'm like, you got to do it. Like this is when it counts. It's not when you're actually playing the game, but it's all those hours of prep before. And so, yeah, it's so true. Opportunities happen, but like you said, whether you take advantage of it, whether you're prepared for it, that's a different story. And so if you can prepare yourself for when those opportunities happen, that's when luck turns into reality.
I think that's a quote that I heard, is that a lot of life is, you know, about taking advantage of your opportunity when your time comes. Until then,
perfect.
Pay your dues.
There you go. That's perfectly said. That's great.
So what recommendations do you have for people who want to either own a private practice or they want to rise the ranks in a private practice setting?
You know, I think for one is going back to what's the problem that we're trying to solve. And so if you're, you know, I think it was Clayton Christensen from Harvard Business, you know, it's people don't buy a quarter inch drill, but they buy a quarter inch hole. And so that's what they want. And so what's, whether it's a, if you're going into private practice and it's a community that you're serving, it's a physician relationship that you're trying to build, it's a patient that you're treating, why are they paying you? Like, why are they having a relationship with you? And so what's that problem that you're solving? And I think that's so key, because oftentimes when we first started, I did a lot of the marketing and I would just like spill out everything I've got. And here's every program we do. Here's everything we do. Here's our hours, insurances. And you know, I never asked them a question. Like I never asked them like about their problems, about their patients, about what are their challenges. And so, you know, I think really understanding, again, in business, what's the problem that we're solving and really going from there. And I think for so many times, we just wasted time, resources, and looking in the wrong direction when not really answering that question.
That's such a great point, because a lot of times that is what happens, right? You want to just blast out everything. Here's our services. This is what we can do. Tell us how we can help. But you're not necessarily asking that question in depth and saying, you know, is this actually what you even want? You know, what do you want? And then understanding that and going from there. So absolutely perfect. I love that recommendation. And, you know, this might be one of the hardest questions. I say this every time that we have this podcast is, you know, what is your single most valuable attribute? What is your superpower?
You know, I think for me, it's the team that we have, you know, the team around us, and possibly like the ability to listen and solve problems. You know, I think there's so many times that the issue at hand is really not the issue. And so whether it's from a patient perspective or an employee's perspective or a payer, like an insurance company's perspective, the issue that seems to be at the surface is probably not the issue that they really are trying to solve. And so really digging deep. And so why is that important? Why is that important? And getting to what's that true problem that they're having and how can we solve it? And maybe we can solve it, but we can help them to solve the problem, you know, even if it's not with us. But first, if we don't understand the problem, then it's not going to come to a resolution and it's not going to be a good exchange anyway. And so I think it starts with listening, you know, listening intently, active listening, and then helping them to solve the true problem.
Active listening is so important. And I like how you said that, trying to find the true problem, because a big part of listening isn't just listening and, you know, responding. It's listening and translating what that person is saying and understanding what they're dealing with, where they're coming from, and trying to really dive down into the problem. Because a lot of times people aren't going to come right out and say what they really mean. So being right. able, as a leader, for you to go in and speak to different people, different personnel on your team, you know, et cetera, and uncover the true feelings behind that and making sure they understand that they can talk to you and being able to listen and guide them through, you know, that's incredibly important. So I love that. And I can tell you're a big listener. I know you've mentioned a few books, like Ryan Holiday is in Simon okay. Sinek and Clinton Christensen. So I can tell that you're reading and gathering and listening to that all the time, which is also super important. So I love to hear
There's so many smart people out there. You
Absolutely.
Know, it's silly not to understand.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
So let's go to the current status of Access here. So, you know, what's your team doing to be the best that they can be in a very competitive environment?
Yeah, we, you know, for one, we just feel honored and blessed to be able to provide, you know, care to our patients. We look at it in really five pillars of what we do and how we improve. And so, you know, one is an amazing patient experience. So we constantly monitor what is the patient's experience with us, what's the interaction, and how can we do better? And so we look at every single touch point patients have with us. What has to happen? You know, what do we want to have happen? And also, how could we go above and beyond? Like, let's give our team opportunities that, you know what, on that first phone call, how can we go above and beyond? If it's raining out, can you walk out with an umbrella, you know, and help them in? And so we're really looking out for those opportunities of how can we truly provide that wow experience? You know, second is clinical excellence. So are we providing the best care possible? Is it the most effective care for that diagnosis? Do we need to train our team in different ways of treating patients, differential diagnosis, whatever it might be, but how can we really provide the best care possible with what we know today? And so third is staff engagement. So making sure that we monitor, is our team happy? Are they fulfilled? Are we helping them towards their personal professional goals, whatever they might be? And so constantly having that communication with our team members, getting them towards their personal professional goals, as it applies to, you know, the organization, the mission, you know, and the service that we provide. And then, you know, finally is, well, first, operational excellence. So making sure, are we doing things as a company that's getting in the way of our therapists providing great patient care? You know, are there processes that we put in place that just don't make any sense? You know, is it hard for our patients to schedule with us? Are there barriers for them to come for care? And so making sure that operationally, we're doing things most efficient so that we can provide that ultimate great patient experience. And then finally is really being a great healthcare partner. And so healthcare is becoming more interdependent. And so as rehab services can play a larger and larger role with the care for musculoskeletal conditions, you know, I think it improves patient experience, outcomes, lower costs of care. It's a great entry point into the healthcare system. And so I think that being a great healthcare partner is critical in how we can then partner with healthcare, health systems, employers, and also the greater healthcare system. So those are kind of the five pillars that we look at and make sure that we are just continually improving around each one of those.
Yeah, and that answered my next question. I mean, I was going to say, why Access? I think you covered it there though, right? And that's, you're covering all bases from, you know, the fact that you're providing great care for the patients, you're providing a great patient experience for everybody that's coming in and helping them out. You're encouraging everybody in the company to be the best they can be comprehensively. And I like to touch on that as well. I mean, you said you're always working with your employees to make sure that they have personal, professional growth. And it's so important because you're not going to have top performers that want to stay and grow with you if you're not nurturing that and giving them the opportunities. And I think that's the perfect example of you guys did that at location 3. You had somebody move so many states away, but you said, you know what, we're going to commit to this and, you know, we will be able to do something and empower that person to really grow their own platform within our company. So that's always great to hear. And do you guys have any programs or anything you guys do internally for that as well?
So it's a great point, Matt, because as we were growing, we had therapists that wanted to be a director, you know, of this site or this location. And we were like, all right, you're an amazing therapist, a great clinician, but yet none of us went to school for how do you have that crucial conversation with a patient, with a family member, with a team member? How do you make sure that, how do you engage your team and, you know, help them to grow? How do you do business development, you know, in your local community? And so we developed a leadership development program. And so Chris and I, and now more of our team members lead, it's kind of a MBA style adult learning, five modules throughout the year with a capstone project at the end to help better prepare our leaders and emerging leaders that they can, whether it's on the clinic side, you know, or on the administrative side, be the best leader they can be. You know, I think leadership, it's some of the stuff is innate, but a lot of it you can learn, you know, and you can learn and you can improve upon. And so emotional intelligence, patient experience, staff experience, all the stuff that's critical besides the nuances of revenue cycle and all that kind of stuff, they need to know it, but yet it's the other stuff that's so important. You know, that stuff, you need to know what's going on, but the crux of it is really just how do you engage your team? You know, how do you make sure your team is fulfilled and engaged and happy and, you know, and also on the patient experience side and just what's really important to grow in a successful organization.
You know, it's so interesting that you point that out because a lot of times, and, you know, this was me as well, I always looked and I was, you know, I was scared that I wasn't developing enough technical expertise, right? I'm like, you know, if I'm not technically sound, how am I going to be a master in something? How am I going to move forward? But, you know, having this conversation, having these other conversations, it's so evident. You know, you keep pointing out how important the soft skills are. Right. And if you can be open to learning, you have that growth mindset and you can be emotionally intelligent, communicate and listen. You know, these are the things that are going to empower you as a leader and let you move forward and lead a company and successfully grow a company. And they're so important. And, you know, technical skills are obviously important as well. But sure. Like you said, these emotional components are so valuable.
You know, it's like playing poker. You know, the technical skills is like the ante. Like that's just to get in the game. It's not to win the game. And so you've got to have great clinical excellence and care, you know, and skill set to actually just play the game. And then, but it's not going to have you win it. And so it's everything else, you know, that's really going to help you win the game. Like we often talk about with our team, like Mrs. Smith, she comes to make sure her back feels better, but that's an expectation. Like if her back is awesome, it is what it is. Like that's why she came to you. But if she came and her back feels better and oh, by the way, it was just an amazing experience. Like she didn't have to know why, like it was this or that, but she's like, you know what? I just felt great. Like they just made me feel so good. It was fun. It was inviting that I felt cared for, or listened to. Like I just felt good about it. You know, that's what we want. You know, again, clinical excellence is the bottom, you know, that's the baseline. And so that's gotta happen. There's hands down, it's gotta happen. But everything else, that's what people talk about. You know, that's what, when it's remarkable, you're actually doing something that someone wants to remark on. And so if they don't want to comment on or say, hey, listen to their spouse, that was great. You know, it's not worth doing.
It's such a great comparison. I love that. You know, that's the technical skills are the ante in poker. That's just, you got to have that. And comparing that to the fact that, you know, when somebody comes to you for care, you should be getting them better. That's the expectation. Right. The rest is just the icing on top that should make it
sure
to the next level. So
definitely.
Access, you guys are at, how many locations do you say right now?
About 50.
About 50 locations right now. What are the plans for the future? What can we expect to see from Access going forward?
You know, it's pretty much going to be similar but different to where we've been so far. And so similar to the fact that we really want to match our skill set, our organization with communities that can benefit from the need. And so, you know, from there, we really see in the next couple of years, our short-term goal of getting to serving 100,000 patients, which would be about 100 or so locations. And I think that in the markets that we serve, concentrically growing around, you know, definitely makes sense. And again, allows great opportunities for our team members, better services for our patients, and just be a better healthcare partner. And I think there, in between now and then, I think integrating more with the healthcare system, whether it's employers, health systems, and also on the payer side, is critical for any healthcare player. You know, we need to be more integrated to make sure that the patients feel like that they are truly the center of the care and that everything else around them functions seamlessly and not in silos. So I think, you know, however that happens, whatever that looks like on the back end, from the patient's perspective, it's got to be fairly seamless. You know, it's got to be where they're at the center, they get the care they need, when they need it, exactly what they need, and everything just functions smoothly on the back end.
Steve, so great hearing your story. I appreciate you walking us through that and, you know, getting your insights on, you know, how you built Access and what you think is most important to running the company and how you guys are going to grow moving forward. You know, wish you guys the best of luck. Excited to see where Access goes and how far you guys grow. And thanks again for coming on.
Thanks so much, Matt. Great seeing you too.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. For more information, feel free to visit the Health City website at www.healthcitypodcast.com. All episodes and insights will be stored on the site, so be sure to stay tuned.